If money affects your life in any way, Money Making Sense will talk about it. Be financially healthy, wealthy, and wise. Here's your host, Heather Kelly.
Welcome to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today, we're going to talk about, are you having to move back home with your parents because you can't afford things, you're out of work? Joining me today is Brian Decker. He's the owner and founder of Decker Retirement Planning. So welcome to the show, Brian.
Thanks, Heather. Glad to be here.
All right. Before we get to, the pandemic, everybody lost their jobs, people are having to move back home with mommy and daddy, but wasn't this trend starting well before the pandemic set in?
A little bit before. The millennials have been poked at and made fun of, but it really hit, Heather, in March. Half of the millennials have either lost their job or enough income that they've had to move in with their parents. And that beats the record. That's 27 million millennials had to move in with their parents, which beats the record going all the way back to the Great Depression. And they were hit three different ways. Millennials had low seniority at their work, and so when things got tight, they were the first to go. On top of that, they were carrying, on average, $30,000 of student debt, and they had low savings being young, and so they were in a bind and squeezed pretty hard, and so they moved back in with their parents.
Wow. I know the huge majority of them, it did happen when the pandemic hit, but I had been hearing reports that it was happening at least a year or two before that as well, but probably for a lot of the same reasons as far as their student debt. And as you said, if they're lower person on the totem pole, they probably aren't making as much money as some of their other coworkers who've been there longer. And then if you have no savings to fall back on or to draw from, that makes things pretty scary.
Right. And I think that with this millennial generation, even before March of this year, I can tell you, as one who has millennial children, it's hard to let them go. You love them and you think you're doing them a favor by making the home nest nice and fluffy and cushy. They don't want to leave.
Right.
So we'll talk more about that in a few minutes.
Yeah. So when the millennials had to leave their work, are we talking they are just completely out of work? They can't find any income at all?
Well, we know that half, the statistic that comes from USA Today, 27 million were affected. That's the number that we know. Half the millennials either lost their job or were compromised in their income to the point that they felt like they had no other choice but to move home.
Before we get more into, if your child has to come back, let's say I'm a parent and the kids have been out of the home for a good 7-8 years, maybe I've retired, I'm living on a fixed income. And then all of a sudden my adult child and maybe their family, maybe a husband, some kids come along and they're not bringing much in the way of income. So now on my Social Security, I'm having to buy groceries and increased electrical bills, water bills. How is that affecting the parent?
Okay, so Heather, you're the bullseye question. Each parent-child relationship is different. First, make sure when you bring these millennial adult children back into your home that you're clarifying expectations and that you have a plan. Some kind of a contract where you sit down and decide how much they can afford to pay for rent, for food and groceries, and for utilities. Make sure that they're contributing. And this is the most important part on this topic, have a projected move-out date in that contract. Make sure that that you're realistic on how much they can afford to pay, but make sure that they are paying.
Brian, this sounds like conflict because now I'm going to have to, I'm the loving mother and I want to have my kids here, but you want me to sign a contract with them? And what if they don't? Oh my gosh, this is just so much.
Okay, it's a hard conversation. And if, let's say, Heather, that you're in that position, you've got some options. If you felt that you couldn't have that conversation, professional help. That's not a psychiatrist. That's a financial planner. seek professional help. A financial planner can be the bad guy. He can go in and first counsel with you, Heather, or any of the parents of these adult children of what factually, mathematically they can afford as far as bringing these kids in and for their expenses. Second, professional help, the financial planner, can also be of benefit in working with these millennials on their budget, on their savings, and on their investing. And here's the key. They can be mediators if there's a problem between mom and dad and the adult child as far as this difficult situation in setting the expectations and having a fair contract where it's a win-win. So factually and mathematically, it is a win-win because the millennial living with mom and dad has far fewer expenses than to be left out on their own. And the additional expenses, the marginal expenses of having a millennial in is basically food and maybe some more hot water, that they're using in the showers. It's not a big difference in expenses.
And I would agree in the big picture, it's not. But if you are on a fixed income, and especially if you're a senior citizen and you have a lot of medical costs, you know, your medications that are extremely expensive in retirement, you don't have that extra $10 for groceries every week or month. You just don't.
That's a good point. So maybe some of the millennial children moving back with mom and dad might not be an option, but in working with a financial planner, there can be budgeting done to see if that is a fit. For many, that would work out. For some, you're right, Heather, it wouldn't work. Let me mention another thing. I know that before a flight takes off, flight attendants have the discussion on the oxygen mask. It's not intuitive of any parent to put that mask on first. But if they do, if they put their oxygen mask on first, they're in a position to help the people around them, which are their loved ones and other people. Same analogy applies to the finances of the parents. If they make sure that their financials and retirement plan is in place and strong and is not compromised, they're able to continue for years in a position to be able to help their children. But if they compromise themselves financially, that's a major problem because they not only destroy their own future and retirement, but they're no longer in a position to help their adult children.
Thank you. I have said that in several of the shows about help yourself first, because if you can't help yourself, there's no way you can help others. So,
it's got to be that way.
Yeah.
It's got to be that way. It's not selfishness. It's financial principles. If you continue to keep yourself on solid ground financially, you're in a position as adults, as parents, to help your children. But if you compromise that, now the whole family has financial issues.
This is a great place to take a break. When we come back, we'll go back to the actual millennials and see what we can do for them. Again, I'm talking with Brian Decker. He's the owner and founder of Decker Retirement.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought There are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Making Sense, the show that if it affects your life in any way, we're talking about it. And today we are talking about the effects of having adult children move back in with their parents because they have lost their job for whatever reason. Joining me today is Brian Decker. He is the owner and founder of Decker Retirement Planning. Brian, in the last segment, we discussed how parents need to take care of themselves. They need to be financially secure before they allow their adult children back into the home. But let's go back and talk about the children, the millennials. And a lot of it is through no fault of their own. Colleges, universities, the costs are just astronomical. So many of them walk out with this huge debt. But now they've lost their job, especially during the pandemic. What can millennials do to help themselves and not have mommy and daddy bail them out?
Good, good. They can get their budgets in order. And this is a great time for parents and adult children to get together and to look at their income stream, their expenses, and try to move things around to where they're able to save more so that they can get out on their own quicker, sooner. If they've lost their job, have plans in place to get that job back, to get their resume in order. But parents can be good coaches at this point. It's kind of a bonding time to do that. But that should be a focus. And by the way, Heather, we have a budgeting worksheet on our website that many have found helpful. Their time at home should be about focusing on how they can get themselves back as soon as possible.
So in the break, we discussed about how many parents, they need to rescue their kids. But you made a really good point.
Yeah, let's talk about this. As part of the financial planning that we do, one of the topics is called a bleeding heart. The bleeding heart, and we see this, I mentioned to you, Heather, that infrequently we see children that are raised, we saw this in Seattle a few times, children that are raised where the children view their parents' money as their money. And they honestly, we saw this, they crash their Mercedes and call mom and dad and say, you know, I'm so sorry, I crashed the Mercedes. Can you just buy me a new one and let me know when I can pick that up? As shocking as that sounds, we've seen it. We've seen parents where they no longer had the ability to pay for lawn mowing service because they're in their 80s and their children were still asking for their money. We've just seen tragedy where the parents never said no. That was, I would say, infrequent compared to the parents' issue of rescuing Johnny and Susie in their 20s and 30s when valuable life lessons, the squeezes of losing jobs or needing to budget or having life lessons hit them. Life happens, and if mom and dad rescue them from the tough issues that happened in their 20s and 30s, they rob them of valuable situations, Heather, that teach frugality and budgeting and wise investing. It's important, and I don't say this insensitively, but it's important for parents to let life teach them those lessons so that they have them ingrained in their DNA. It's so interesting when we get, sorry to go off on this topic so much, but when we get people in their late 80s, early 90s, they've gone through the Depression, and their view of money and savings is on a different scale entirely from the millennials.
Yeah, I see that as well. And when I'm talking to a lot of people, those who have gone through the hard times, the Depression, as you said, even World War II, and not in as big of numbers, but also in the 70s where there was really high gas prices and our inflation was just out of control. But people that really learned from those periods of time are much more frugal with their money, and they're willing to say no to people who continually, I mean, it's one thing for just a one time, oh God, I'm in real big financial struggle here. Can I just borrow some money? And if that gets paid back, then that's great. That's the end of it. But when a child or a friend or another family member continually takes money and never pays it back, or can then starts thinking, oh, I can just go to this person anytime for help, and the parents don't say no, that's an issue.
And hearing you talk reminds me of something else. In the budgeting process that millennials need to do while they're living with mom and dad is discover the difference between wants and needs.
Yes.
Wants and needs. So, for example, some of the millennials honestly believe that a car is something that they have to have. When if they cannot afford to pay for the car insurance or the gas, or for maintenance to the car when the car breaks down, maybe Johnny and Sally need to ride a bike and have public transportation for 18 months of their life. Maybe Johnny and Sally can't afford their cell phone payments. I mean, they need to have real discussions about what they can and cannot afford. One more thing is the entitlement of the millennial generation is mind-boggling. They, instead of packing a lunch, believe that they need to go down to the bistro for lunch at $6 a shot for lunch every day and start their day every morning with a Starbucks of another $6. Well, that's $12 times 5. That's $60 a week. And you multiply that times 4, $240 a month expense that can easily be negated when we have these serious discussions about wants and needs.
Yep, that is a good one too. And a lot of this is actually on the parents. And when we talk about the millennials and their entitlement, but it starts with the generation bringing them up, which may be on the cusp of millennials. But if the parents aren't starting at age 3, 4, 5, saying no when their child wants another cookie, or they're in the grocery store and the child starts acting up because you don't give them the bubble gum, and so the parents give in and just give it to them anyway, the kids learn that entitlement. And so then if we're saying, okay, now parents, your kids are in your 20s and 30s and you need to say no when they come to, when they ask you for money because you need to be financially fit, it's really hard for the parent to just all of a sudden go, hey, I've never said no my entire life, and now you want me to.
Yep, yep. Raising our kids, Heather, we did a few things wrong, but we got one thing right in what you're talking about. We wanted our kids early on to have a lemonade stand. We wanted them mowing lawns. We wanted them to find out that they could have a crew of people mowing lawns while they're in their high school year and putting businesses together. And if they liked something, a new technology like Zoom or DocuSign, that those were stocks that they could buy and that they could watch and that they could monitor. So in their teens, we had our kids doing that.
That's great. I love that. I hope that more parents do that. And even if they're late coming to the game, it's never too late to start saying no to your kids. But if you haven't said it very often in the past, you're going to have to say no a whole lot of times before they get the message.
Yes. And in Europe, tragically, the feeling is that Johnny and Sally should be able to live with mom and dad for most of their adult life. It's just a different philosophy. To teach financial independence in the United States is almost a backbone principle, where we teach that you should be able to go out and get a job and work hard and provide for yourself and for your family, and here's how to do it. And yes, there are times when you might want to fall back on your family, but there should be a plan and a contract in place to get you back out on your feet as soon as possible.
That's a great place to stop. We're going to take one more break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up. Again, joining me is Brian Decker. He's the owner and founder of Decker Retirement. Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today, we're talking about having your adult children move back home with you, or maybe you're the adult child and you have to move back home with mom and dad. Joining me is Brian Decker. He is the owner and founder of Decker Retirement Planning. So Brian, in the last two segments, we've discussed how the parents need to be financially stable and secure before they allow their kids back home. Even if the kids are in a tough situation, if the parents are too, they really shouldn't be there. And then also what the kids can do. What are the things they need to think about and look into as they move back home with mom and dad? But let's move ahead to next year, to 2021, which we all hope will be a whole lot better than 2020. Where do you see millennials and even the next generation after that coming up in the next year to 5 years?
Okay, so this is another great question, Heather. The economy is probably going to fall into one of two types, a V-type recovery where we go back to normal. And if that's the case, Johnny and Sally as millennials with their college training can and should plan on jumping right back into the new rehiring that will happen once the economy revs back up again. The estimates for GDP even this week are above 30%, which is good, but still not taking us back to where we were before the pandemic took us down. But scenario one is a V-shaped recovery, no big deal, just plan on getting right back into the workforce. Plan B is a tougher situation. Plan B is an L-shaped recovery where this is the new normal. The pandemic doesn't go away. The vaccine on a virus, you know, the flu is a virus too. There's no vaccine on the flu. So if we get a difficult situation where the pandemic doesn't go away as planned, we have an L-shaped recovery and this is the new normal of shutting down and having people work from home and skeletal crews at work, and the rehiring is more difficult, it's going to be imperative for these millennials to do their research and see where the hiring is happening and to go through retraining. Maybe the person that has a degree where there's not rehiring, they might want to be retrained in areas that they are hiring. Government seems to be hiring all the time. just saying. And so they might want to, it will be imperative that they research and find out where the hiring is and get that retraining so that they can get those jobs.
Okay. How long, I mean, in the last recession that we had, they called it the Great Recession, in 2008, 2009. And we came out of that actually a little faster than I thought we were going to. I mean, if you were living through it, it didn't feel like it was a long time. But by 2011, housing prices were really starting to take off again. The stock markets were climbing up as well. How long, I know you talked about V and L shape, but even if it's an L shape in the workforce, how long would you say economically after the pandemic is under control, would we kind of go back to economic stability?
That's interesting. There's a lot of things up in the air right now. If we have open borders, we have a lot more competition for jobs. And these are millennial jobs. These are entry level jobs. These are sometime blue collar jobs. It's going to be important to see where this new economy settles in and where the people are hiring for jobs. So on your question, I think it's imperative to to be flexible and to be willing to retrain if necessary to get those jobs, because nobody on this planet knows what 2021 is going to look like.
Okay. That's a scary thought. But to wrap things up, what would you say are the top three or four things, if the adult children are moving back home with their parents, what are the top three or four things that each side needs to prepare for?
Okay, the top three for parents is to make sure that you know, you've met with your financial planner and you know mathematically what you can afford to do with your children living in your home. That's imperative. That's number one. Number two is to have a contract in place for your adult children on how much they're going to pay, and to have a contract on when they will be out on their own again. And then number three, for the parents, to meet with their adult children and to help them with budgeting and to help them with resume and ideas for retraining and help them where, and again, I think this can be a good time for parents and adult children, a bonding time that they can help them get back on their own. No shaming, but just helping them. We love our children, and to help them get back on their feet. The top three for the children, these adult children, the millennials, is number one, to know where the jobs are and to know what you're trained for so that you know where you can get hired back quickest, and to do that retraining and to have your budgeting done so that you're able to save and set money aside, and you put aside and you know what wants and needs are so that you can do the budgeting, the real budgeting that allows you to save money so that you can get back out on your own. I would say those are the top three for the millennials, the adult children.
Thank you so much, Brian Decker. Again, you are the owner and founder of Decker Retirement Planning.
Thanks for listening. You can email me with any questions or topics you want to hear about at hkelly@ksl.com. That's H-K-E-L-L-Y at ksl.com. And because this is Money Making Sense, you can subscribe for free on Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast, and you'll never miss another episode.
Thanks for being a Money Making Sense listener. Follow your common sense on the social media, Money Making Sense, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.